Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. We believe small actions can have great impact. Take a small action today. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Shane, thank you very much for that. Now, President Michael D. Higgins said in Rome this afternoon that his decision not to attend a ceremony marking a century of partition in Armagh next month was something he was considering for about 6 months and decided it would be inappropriate to attend. He had expressed concerns about the title of the event and he said there was correspondence with the organisers going on for some time. Let's take a listen.
Can I say to you straightforwardly, in the week before St. Patrick's Day, I addressed these words and I said, if this title and the structure suggested remains, it may be that I will have to wish you well, but decline. Straightforwardly.
Well, the President also said that former Taoiseach John Bruton was wrong in his interpretation of the Constitution and that it was up to him whether he wants to withdraw remarks which were made earlier on the Today with Claire Byrne show. Well, for more on this, we're joined now by Thomas Byrne, the Minister of State at the Department of the Taoiseach and the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade with responsibility for EU affairs, and also by Peter Weir, who is DUP MLA for Strangford and former Minister of Education in Northern Ireland. And thank you both very much for joining us this afternoon. Thomas, start with yourself, and the President said this afternoon that when the original invitation came, there were discussions on all sides. Are you aware what discussions were had? Was the Department involved in that, terms of coming to a decision to attend or not to attend?
Well, I wouldn't be involved in those discussions, but I think we heard very clearly from Minister Coveney that the Department had discussions with President Higgins, but that no clear advice was given to him. And as we know, and I think we don't need to hear him today talking about it, we know that he's well able to make up his own mind on these particular issues and to come to a, I suppose, reflective decision on whether he should go to these events or not. And clearly, this is not something that was posted out last week. He's been thinking about this for the last 6 months. He's been reflecting on it. He's been clearly in correspondence with the organisers as well. And I think that we can safely trust President Higgins to come to the right decision on this in the end. I think he's done that. I think it's very unfortunate.
But he did consult with the Department of Foreign Affairs. That much is uncontested, I think. Was he obliged to seek that advice, in your view, advice from government departments, because John Bruton contended that he was?
No, absolutely not. I mean, the Constitution is very specific about the instances where the President must act on the advice of the government, and there are very specific instances listed down there. He's not required, and is, you know, to do every move that he makes to consult the government. That's not the case. He will, of course, get help and assistance from government departments, but I think President Higgins is well able to make up his own mind in a properly, you know, formed thought about all of this. I think particularly it's very disappointing to hear our president accused of not following the Constitution while he's abroad representing the country with, I think, 7 or 8 other heads of state in Rome. In these few days. I think that's really, really unfortunate. It's a brave man in John Bruton to accuse the President of not following the Constitution. I don't think that's the case. And I think the President, to be fair to him, has robustly defended the position there.
Should John Bruton withdraw those remarks?
I think so. I absolutely think so. It's simply not the case for a start. I think that's very, very clear if anyone reads the Constitution. But also, I think it's not fair to say that about the President when he's abroad, when clearly he has made a very considered decision about this. This is not a knee-jerk reaction by the President. We've had knee-jerk reactions by politicians. The DUP started this by coming onto radio stations complaining about this and politicising the issue while the President's abroad, when clearly the President has made the decision not to attend this so that it wouldn't be politicised. And the President has engaged, you know, very warmly with the Queen and the late Prince Philip, including in Northern Ireland, in the course of the term of office. So that's not an issue. And I, for example, I'm going to the Glen Cree Centre this weekend for Peace and Reconciliation in Wicklow. They do a lot of work on it, you know, across the political divide in Northern Ireland. The President himself is an active supporter and engager with that particular organisation. That's one of only many engagements that he has in this issue.
All right. Well, we did ask, incidentally, John Bruton if he'd like to come on the show this afternoon, and we haven't got a response from him yet. But if we do hear from him, we're on air until 7 o'clock. If he'd like to come and speak to us about you, Thomas Byrne, calling for him to withdraw the remarks, and the President also speaking about his remarks, very critical of them earlier on. I want to get on to Peter Weir, but just before I move on from yourself, Thomas, on this issue of the Department of Foreign Affairs and what advice was given or not given, what we're being told is no clear advice was given. Do you know what that means?
No, well, first of all, I'm not involved in advice to the President of these situations, but I also know that when the Department gives advice, it's confidential advice, but that clearly the President makes his own decisions in these matters. He absolutely makes his own decisions in these matters, but of course, the resources of the Department of Foreign Affairs are there for him as he considers these decisions. But the Department didn't give him advice one way or the other, and I think his robust responses on this issue, which I'm sure he was very reluctant to get involved in, he certainly didn't start the political discussion on this. I think President Higgins has shown to everybody that this was a decision that he made himself, and he made it after careful consideration, including with the Department of Foreign Affairs, but I would say much other consideration as well.
Okay, I've just said that we had asked for John Bruton to appear on the show if he would like to speak to us. He has issued us a statement in just the last couple of minutes, and I can bring that to you now. He says that Article 13.9 of the Constitution says, inter alia, the functions conferred by this Constitution shall be exercisable and performable by him only on the advice of government. This is clear. Such a provision is necessary to ensure coherence of state policy between President and government. I am glad to have drawn attention to this article. I believe the decision to accept or decline this invitation, which President Higgins received as head of state, is definitely in exercise of his function as head of state. But when I referred this morning to his response to the invitation from church leaders, the information in the public domain then was that the President had acted on his own in this matter. This was before a subsequent statement by the Minister for Foreign Affairs that the government did have an opportunity to offer advice but did not do so. In light of this, says John Bruton, the provisions of the Constitution now do appear to have been fulfilled. I am happy that this is the case and the matter is now clarified. That said, I still believe the President should go to Armagh next month. It is a valuable opportunity to recognise the present constitutional realities while pointing the way to a more hopeful future. Two heads of state standing together in the ecclesiastical capital of Ireland would be a powerful symbol of a new way forward for this island. It would recognise the diverse allegiances that exist on this island. I do not see any problem with the proposed title of the service, which refers to simple realities, namely partition and the creation of Northern Ireland. I understand the invitation was issued to the President of Ireland. And finally, he says, I commend the church leaders on organising this service with its emphasis on an honest reflection on the past and an acknowledgement of past failures and hurts. This is the sort of honest and humble thinking that should guide our own marking of important centenaries in this jurisdiction. And the church leaders have shown brave leadership, he says. Just briefly to yourself, Thomas, before I get to Peter Weir on that, John Bruton there is saying that the matter is now clarified. He's not necessarily withdrawing what he said, but that he's happy that the matter is now clarified. Is that sufficient in your view?
Look, I don't accept that the President has to get permission of the government to do these types of events at all. John Bruton seems to have rolled back somewhat on what he said, but the President is free to make these decisions. Look, the President is required to get the advice and consent of the government in relation to maybe calling of an election, the appointment of ministers, and other functions that are specifically listed in the Constitution. I think the truth is that presidents up to Mary Robinson were all really great people and did wonderful service to the state, but they were a different type of president. I think since Mary Robinson, Mary McAleese and Michael D. Higgins, we've had a much more active presidency, okay, including a presidency that's reached across the political divide in Northern Ireland as well. And we've seen that on numerous occasions with all three of them, including Michael D. Higgins.
All right. Well, Peter Weir has been waiting patiently on the line. And thank you, Peter, for joining us this evening. We have some clarification from the President this afternoon as to why it was that he was concerned about attending this event. And namely, it was the title of the event that he really did have a problem with, because the event was going to mark the centenaries of the partition of Ireland and the formation of Northern Ireland. And Michael D said today that what began as a religious service or reconciliation was now celebrating, or the mark, he said, of the partition of Northern Ireland and the creation of Northern Ireland, the partition of Ireland and the creation of Northern Ireland, and that's a different thing, he said. He asked for it to be changed.
Well, look, I would say I welcome the fact that at least there is clarification, because the position that we were in yesterday was simply that he was not in a position to attend, which could have been interpreted at least two different ways. However, I'm disappointed by the decision. I'm still slightly mystified as to the rationale, and I think it's a retrograde step, and I would urge even at this late time for President Higgins to reconsider this decision and to attend. Marking is something which is very different from celebrating, and I think it seems to me that the title is one that simply reflects the reality of the event. I think we've seen a situation that over the last 10 years or so, I think there's been a lot of good work has happened, both in terms of gender relationships, but also I think there was a danger that the decade of centenaries, as it was called, could have been something which was either seen as very insular for different communities, or certainly could even have been used to stir up greater tensions and problems. And I think, to be fair, across much of that period, people have approached this in a very sensitive manner. Mm. And I think, therefore, the decision is a retrograde step. I think, essentially, simply because it's acknowledging a service which is acknowledging the fact that the partition took place, that there will be those who will celebrate, those who will say that they would be thoroughly opposed to it, but that doesn't stop the issue being marked. And I have to say, an event which is organised by the four main churches is about as far removed from some sort of flag-waving celebration as you could possibly get. It is about hope and reflection, and I'm disappointed by the...
Sure, I understand that's your interpretation of the wording of the name of the event, but the president obviously interpreted it as being somewhat of a celebration, because he said that is how he interpreted the word marking. And some other, he's not alone in that, many other people had interpreted it in the same way, and therefore he reckoned it was politicised. Asked for a change. Would you have been opposed to a change in the title?
I'm not one of the organisers in relation to it, but marking is not the same, as I said, as celebrating. So, for instance, maybe say a number of years ago, there was the marking of the, maybe take it at one level on it, there was a ceremony which marked the 100th anniversary of the sinking of the Titanic. Locally, there was a very major disaster which cost a lot of lives. In the 1950s, of the sinking of the Princess Victoria, those would have been marked. They wouldn't have been celebrated. And I think,
we can go around in circles on that. The issue was, you can interpret it in a different way, can't you? And different people, it's up to them.
Yes, but the point. No, well, I think it is difficult to interpret that as a celebration. Okay. It is also the case that as the event is linked in with 100 years since partition took place. You know, I think you can thumb through a thesaurus to find some form of different word. It's still amounting to largely the same thing, and there's a distinction between the two.
All right, I might bring Thomas Byrne back in on that. And would you accept that, Thomas, that this is very clearly to mark? That doesn't mean to celebrate?
Well, look, I mean, I can't second guess what the President has said. He's decided himself this is something that he felt would be inappropriate for him as President of Ireland to attend. I have to accept what he's saying on that. I mean, I can't.
Do you agree with him?
I agree with the president. Yeah, I mean, I'm not in the sense I'm not going to second guess. I wasn't involved in those discussions, and neither was Peter or anybody else for the last.
But do you think it would have been appropriate for him to go?
No, if he decided, I mean, I'm not really familiar with the detail of this. He's clearly been in correspondence with him. He said since before St. Patrick's Day. Where he felt it was inappropriate. And I think that, you know, that really is sufficient. You know, we weren't involved in this, and I'm absolutely no doubt that he will be involved in other events in Northern Ireland, other events possibly with the Queen and certainly with members of the royal family even as well. That has happened before. There's no objection to that, I think he said very, very clearly. But he has clearly done a lot of work on this. He's taken advice from the Department of Foreign Affairs.
And, yeah, but he's made it quite clear today. I mean, it's pretty simple, really. There's no great mystery to why he decided not to go. It's because of the title of the event, which he felt was politicised. You know, there's nothing else to it that he has told us about today. That's what he had a problem with. And I'm wondering, do you agree with him? Was the title of the event politicised?
I agree with the President. The President is saying that if that's what he felt about the event, he's the one who's actually been looking at the files in this. We haven't. You know, the first most people heard about this yesterday was when DUP politicians came on criticising the issue when they weren't directly involved in organising the event either. So I think we have to give way to the judgment of the President, trust the judgment of the President. He's been elected by the people of Ireland twice. He has shown himself to be a big person in this sense.
So the government has now said separately that it will give serious consideration to going to this event if an invitation is extended. Would you agree with that then? If you agree with the President on the one hand that this event was politicised by the name of the title of it, are we on the other hand with another arm of the state giving serious consideration to going?
Well, first of all, the President particularly can't get involved in politicised events. So that's the President's opposed politics. So that's obviously a strict criterion for him. What the government has said, and the government hasn't been invited to this, as far as I know, is that the Taoiseach, Minister Coveney, has said that they will give serious consideration if an invitation is issued. Mm. But let's be honest, the discussions on this with the President have been going on for more than 6 months. It's very late in the day now to be coming up saying, look, we're doing this, why don't you come instead? So I think it's getting very late in the day for that, but clearly the government, the Taoiseach and Minister for Foreign Affairs have said very, very clearly that serious consideration would be given to it.
And do you think there should be an Irish representative there? Because again, John Bruton was saying the head of state of the UK is going to be there, the Queen, that is why he felt it was appropriate for our head of state to be there, President Michael D. Higgins. But I mean, the next best thing you could argue would be the Taoiseach. The Taoiseach,
more than anybody, has been engaging in the spirit of reconciliation. You only have to look in the Department of the Taoiseach, the Shared Island Unit that's there now, which is dialogue between both sides, but also practical projects in the north of Ireland on the border. It's going to be
okay. You're not going to give me an answer on that at the moment.
No, I'm not, because there is no answer from the government on that at the moment. The government said if an invitation comes in, which it hasn't, that they will give serious consideration.
All right, Peter, just a final word to yourself. Dermot Ferger was speaking earlier. He's an Irish historian, and he said it was breathtaking hypocrisy, he reckoned, for the DUP to be lecturing the Irish head of state on North-South relations a week after the DUP announced their own withdrawal from North-South institutions under the Good Friday Agreement. He said this was the weaponising of the Good Friday Agreement.
Well, sorry, I think from that point of view, I think if the East-West relationship, which indeed in terms of from a Northern Ireland perspective, is actually impacting on the internal workings of the United Kingdom. It's actually impacting on my constituents in terms of their ability to receive goods, where goods are disappearing off the shelves, where we're being told that even in terms of the EU solution, that this may lead to the withdrawal of medicines from Northern Ireland. This is incredibly
serious.
No, it won't.
Well,
in terms of withdrawal of medicines, even while the EU have suggested an alternative way forward in relation to that, the general manufacturers of the
we're not going to get into a Brexit debate here. All right, gentlemen, I tell you what, we're going to have to leave it there for this evening, but thank you both very much for joining us. That is Peter Weir and Thomas Byrne. We'll take a break.